All right, well, I got like 25 minutes. You know, we had the same situation first service, and it was like I'm tripping in my head thinking, you know, how am I going to get all this in, and I've got 36 points. We need to make this message, and then it was like God spoke to me and said, hey, dude, you got next week, and then I had to tell the Lord, we have a different series starting next week. I mean, sometimes we got to inform him what's really going on because he doesn't quite know. But the good point about all that is I probably won't die this week since he said I got next week. So since he said no man is promised tomorrow, I might have got a semi-promise for another 7 days. So I can drive like a maniac. Now, I'm like bulletproof right now. At least that's what I'm thinking. But I could have misunderstood him. So, because we don't always hear right. So what we're going to do is get as far as we can today, then we're going to go into it to next week and finish it up. So if you see something about the book of James, just kidding, it's not that book. And we're going to finish the Sermon on the Hill. And this is a very, very, very important one. This will be a life changer. If you really take it and apply what we'll be teaching the next couple weeks on this scripture, which is this. Let me just give you a quick background real quick. Jesus had been ministering for about a year. How many know that? How many have been coming to this series? How many want to punch me in the face if I say Jesus has been ministering for a year one more time? But for you new people, this is a blessing for you guys. Jesus has been ministering by himself for about a year, and at one day he went up onto a mountain. It says he prayed, and of course he had been gathering followers at that time. He prayed and asked whatever he was talking to the Father, and what he did was call up a group of them, and out of that group of disciples, which really means students, he took 12 of them and made them apostles. They were to be the tip of the spear of the introduction of the kingdom of heaven onto the kingdom of the earth. All the Old Testament and everything before Jesus doing this moment, what we've come to know as the Beatitudes, all that he did before that was the setting up of the introduction of the kingdom of God onto the earth. There is a king and there is a kingdom, and he came to take over the earth because the earth is messed up. The people are messed up. And so what he did after he picked those guys, he went down, and in Luke tells us he went to a level place and he started teaching them the principles of the kingdom, which wasn't a how to fix this world. It was a radically different way of doing life, a radically different way of seeing it. And as Chris said, hearing, it starts to transform us from the inside out. And then he uses that transformation, kind of like what Billy was sharing in her own story, in her own life, to touch other lives and introduce them to a radically different way of doing life. And so he says to them, and he started laying out these, blessed are you. Some of us have heard of them before. They're called the Beatitudes. Beatitude is simply a Latin word that means the blessings. Jesus said, listen, you want a blessed life, which means happy, which means prosperous, not in the sense necessarily of money, although you live in America, you are in the top 3% of all people in the world financially. I don't care what you think your financial situation is. Compared to the rest of the world, you are in the top 3%. If you make over $100,000, you are in the top 1% of the world. You make $40,000 a year, you're in the top 5%. We are rich. So when we think of poverty in the United States, we have a way different mindset than people in the rest of the world. But he says blessing means to prosper, and it means to prosper in our soul, prosper in our relationships. And then he starts to tell them these different ways that this happens. Luke gives us four of these blessings. Matthew, who was an eyewitness to Jesus speaking, he was one of the 12 chosen, he gives a little different perspective. He adds a couple, and today we finish the last one, which is covered in Matthew 5:9, and he says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. You know, when Jesus teaches his disciples, the world's at war. You're at war. How many of us sitting here right now are at war with ourselves? We're at war with relationships. We're at war in multiple different ways. We have wars going on. We know how to war. What the world has a problem with is peacemaking. A lot of us do peace faking. That's where we act like it's not a problem, but it's really a problem. And I'll show you every which way it is, but I'll tell you it isn't. Some of us peace fake by being still. Oh, we just get quiet. Some of us peace fake. You hurt me? Here's how I'll war with you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to talk to you for a week. Oh, until I figure I'm ready to. You've paid enough. You've paid enough price. Some of us war by controlling other people. See, the world's idea of victory is to dominate. If we dominate another, that's why all the nations that fight each other, you know, we have 50 wars going on in the world at any point of time. If you're a senior in high school today, you have not lived in a peaceful time with the United States. We have been at war since you were born. That's a big deal. That's why a lot of our young people are disenfranchised, and they are sick of government. They are sick of what we talk about, and they see war everywhere. See, but in war, there's always a victor. Somebody's got to win, which means somebody's got to lose. And the way you win is to dominate. That's what you do. World War I, World War II, the winning nations got to dominate and tell the losing nations what they have to do. Many of us have relationships where we're in our trenches. Hurt, be hurt. Hurt, be hurt. Hurt, be hurt. And we war with each other. And we keep warring because we're trying to win. Because we think if we win, then it'll be okay. And if I can't win this fight, I gotta exit this fight and find someone who won't fight with me. And guess what? They all grew up warring too. We all grow up warring. We war with ourselves. We war with people. War with our job. We war. We war. War with our kids. It's weird to me how people will gather skills for every other kind of work there is in the world, except relationships. Somehow, we're just supposed to have those skills. I love her, she loves me, we're good. That should carry us. Until it doesn't. Then I don't know what to do with that. I can't tell you how many people have struggles, and they won't get any help because they'll figure it out. Really? Is that what you did in school? I don't need no math book. I'll just figure it out. How many of us have worked in jobs, especially our first job? You know, a lot of us got restaurant or, you know, fast food type jobs. You walk in there, I don't need to be trained. I eat. I got every skill I need because I eat food. I don't need that. I've watched a doctor show, Can I Operate on You? To us, it's ludicrous. There's only two areas where people feel like they're automatically knowledgeable. Relationships and religion. Well, I don't need none of that, really. I understand religion. I got my own concept of God. Oh, so you've spent many years studying this. No, not at all. Well, but you're proficient at understanding what faith is all about. Oh, yeah, yeah. How? Well, you know, it's in my heart. Is that what you do when you go into a job? I'd like to be a doctor here. Where's your certificate? Oh, it's in my heart. It's in my heart. I got it, you know. Isn't that weird? But we don't even think that's weird. Jesus said this. He said, listen, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Why? because that was one of the identifiers of God. In Isaiah 9:6, when the prophet prophesied hundreds of years into the future, saying that the king was coming. And he named a number of identifiers to identify this king and what he was bringing. And he said this, "For to us a child is born." This king will be a child. Jesus is complex. We're complex. Unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. He'll be a child and he'll be a boy. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will carry all government. See, we have multiple governments now, but one day there will be one government. Because a kingdom has a king. Everybody else is under the king. He says, and then he says this, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Interesting word, counselor. He didn't say he will be Wonderful Information Giver. He will be the Google of all Googles. Why? Information doesn't change people. He says he will sit down and relate to a person. He will have great relationship skills. He will be able to impart knowledge that leads to wisdom, because wisdom is only attained by applying knowledge. We oftentimes think that knowledge changes us. Knowledge don't change nothing unless it's applied. Right? It's a big bingo. Amen. He says this, but he'll also be Mighty God. He'll be Everlasting Father. How can that be? How can Jesus be Father too? Because the Bible tells us that everything was created for him, by him, and through him. He created all, so he's in a sense the father of it all. Notice those are relational terms. Counselor, son, child. Those are relational terms. Everlasting Father. Then he says this, he will be the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. He will be the father and a prince. Why? Because his kids are the princes and princesses of peace. We are the tip of the spear in bringing peace into a world, including our own personal world, that is always at war. That's the problem we have, is we don't know how to make peace and keep peace. Because that's the big deal. You're in any type of relationship, you're trying to make peace because there's always stuff going on. How many know that? Peacemaking will become a regular practice. Peacekeeping is when you take it to the next level, where you're actually applying the things that you want to be peace about. Years ago, Therese, when I came to the Lord and when I got clean and started walking with Jesus, I didn't know how to do relationship. Like everybody else. All we have is the relationships we've seen in our family of origin or foster homes or wherever we grew up. That's our teaching, not implicitly, explicitly, but implicitly. That's the teaching we get, and we take that with us. How many know that not the best school I went to? Wasn't the best school. Some of us go, oh, it's a pretty darn good school. Well, God bless you. And because now I'm at war with you. Because I got cheated. Some of us aren't even at peace with our past. We still war with it. Here's a number one thing for you to get better. Make peace with your past. You can't fix it. You can war with it and war against those who put you in those places. The problem is you can't do anything about it. So what do? We carry it to the next relationship. But except this time, we're already geared up for war. I know where I got shot last time. Not getting shot there this time. I'll shoot you first. I have found the best defense is an outstanding offense. And right off the bat, I'm going to control you. Because that way we can maintain peace. No. Why? Because we're rebels. How many have ever gotten far ahead in life by being controlled? I love to be controlled. No, somebody tries to control you, that ain't going to work. Yeah. So what is, some of us in here are married or in intimate relationships where we have dug trenches. I lob grenades at you, and you mortar fire me. And every now and then we call a little truce. Can we have sex? And we're going to fight. Then we go back into our corners. Why do I know this? I don't know. I just. Yeah, we take a time out. Bills need to be paid. Come together. And then we fight about that too, because everything we do is fight. Why? It's the way our culture is. That's why one of the things Jesus said is this. Listen. He said in Isaiah 9:7, he says, of the greatness, right after he said that, Isaiah goes on to say this, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. There will be no end. What does that mean? That means that this grace, this government, and this peace is progressive. Why? Because peacemaking, if you're dealing with any person, you're dealing with any situation, there's going to be ongoing wars. How many have ever had one fight and never again? Amazing. There's ongoing stuff. So peace has to continue to grow, has to continue to be maintained. We have to learn those skills. Because peacemaking is all about reconciliation. You can't always reconcile, and we'll talk about that. But the idea behind peacemaking is that we can travel together and we're cool. We've worked peace in whatever it is. We've made the changes necessary so we can be in peace and we continue to walk in it. That's God's desire for his kingdom. I love people when they first get into ministry, they think, you know, they're Christians. Oh, they're just going to love on each other. They got the love thing going on. They get in there, 2 weeks they're in the office. Joe, I don't know about the team you put me on. I don't think they're saved. Because sometimes we have this idea that because we get Jesus, all skills naturally fall into my life. No, they're brought in and attained. Maturing, just like in the natural realm, is a process. Being born, an event. Growing, work, and process. That's the way it is. Yeah, but doesn't God just do... No, there's no place in Scripture, no human being that has ever lived that was instantly matured. In fact, Scripture says, do not put a baby believer in a place of leadership. They will war with everybody because nothing's been changed in them. They came in warring until I can't war no more. That's really what surrendering to God is. That's really what salvation is. I can't do it. I've tried everything I can. I've looked in everywhere I place. I can't do it. Help me. God helps you. That doesn't mean nothing's changed in your life. That just means he said, I'm going to help you. When he's going to help you, you're going to say this many times. I didn't ask you to help him there. I asked you to save me, not run my life. And when I meant save me, I really meant change her. I was really meant get me a better job. What are you thinking? You're supposed to know everything. Maybe I won't make it through the week. I don't know. So this is what Jesus said. He said in John 16, a little bit later in these guys' journey with him. And this is the thing about God's teaching. It's on the job. It's on the job. He didn't tell these guys, sit down now and I want you to take a bunch of notes and we'll be testing on Friday. He says, you know, this is the way it is and you'll be tested in it immediately because I picked Peter and he gets along well with people. So we're going to learn a lot of peacemaking here. And I picked Judas too. He's going to betray. He's going to betray us all. I'm going to teach you how to deal with that too. Wouldn't you love it if God just surrounded you with the cream of the crop? No, you wouldn't, because you'd be the loser in that group. I know I would. Anyway, Jesus told his guys in John 16:33, I have told you these things, and he was telling them a bunch of stuff that was going to happen to him and stuff that was going to happen to them. He was giving them the real, Jesus doesn't sugarcoat. And he tells them this, so that in me you may have peace. He says, I'm telling you all this stuff. You're going to watch me. These guys have been walking with him already a while now as his apostles. They're watching him. He goes, but in me, who you are in me, knowing that I go before you, as Billy shared, as your shield, knowing that you're in me, I'm with you, you're going to have peace. Why? Because we win. See, in the big war, if you hang on, whatever your big war is, when you hang on to Jesus, you win. So therefore, I don't have to fight no more. I can be at peace. Because why? When I'm not at peace, I'm at war. And when I'm at war, that means I'm trying to win something. That's why in recovery, they talk a lot about surrendering. Why do I keep fighting this thing that keeps kicking me in the face and knocking out all my teeth? Best thing, don't fight with it no more. Do something different. Because that's what they do. What is that? You know, I got 60 days now. You know, I think I can go handle some meth. He's got a lot smaller. I think I'm bigger now. No, you're not. You know, I've done this, and I think, you know, I've been really nice to her, and not a lot's changed, so think we got to go to war. I'm going to fight her. Because I don't feel like I'm winning. He goes, no, you'll be blessed, dude. He says, peacemaking. You keep making. And that's the thing. Peacemaking requires you to put effort towards it. You have to work it. How many work at peacemaking? It's like, I just want to, but where do I want to? But I'm not going to do that. And this is the other thing. I thought a lot that if somebody wanted to fight, that was my obligation to return that favor. Oh, a fight? Okay. I remember years ago at the beach, we're at San Clemente. It was 4th of July. I'm with Therese and my you know, kids, and they were all this big. And we're watching the fireworks show, and next to me was some gangbangers. And, you know, I didn't like them. And I didn't like what they were saying. And so I'm kind of looking at him, and I'm seeing who's the big mouth, because he's kind of ruining my day, and I think it's my job to repair that. And sure, there's 6 of them, but, you know, who's thinking that far ahead? So anyway, we get up, and now we're walking back to our car, and they happen to be walking down the same street, and I just start mad-dogging the guy. And he starts mad-dogging me. And it's, you know, it's getting weird. And because it's like, where do you go after that? And, you know, the next place you go is, what are you looking at, of course? And and then it kind of went downhill after that. And then Therese goes, Joe, what are you doing? What, the kids, what are you, an idiot? Oh, now I'm warring with you too. Okay. I see how it is. Joe against the world. This is the thing. I didn't even know these dudes. I'd never seen them before in my life, but all of a sudden, they're a big deal to fight with. Because why? I have no idea. But that's just the way we crazy think. I used to have fights with Teresa all the time about what? I don't know. If she said something, I got to come against that because I got to win. Why? See, peacemaking, and this is what we have grown in, is You know, it's way easier to keep peace back in the day. So ultimately nothing happened. I ran away like a little girl, but it was okay. No, I ain't running away. Walking fast, yes. But anyway, different story. Nothing happened. Because when it comes down to it, you know, there was, what am I doing? And basically, this is the thing. I said, I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't want to. And I felt, you know, and now I'm concerned about all these other people walking down that same street thinking I'm a wimp. So, you know, and I don't know any of them either, but it's super important what they think about me for that 30-second time of life that we're going to share. I know, that's, you know, and I knew Jesus at that time and was in ministry. So he doesn't pick the cream of the crop. But I learned a lesson that day, and I think I was sharing it with you guys today. That's all that was for today. Is pick your fights, people. I used to always be in a fight mode, and a lot of us sitting in here today are always in a fight mode. Because that's what we've grown up. What impact do we have on the world when we claim to be children of God? He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. What blessing do we have? First of all, we get a blessing for being a peacemaker. But what blessing am I to the world when I war just like they do? And yet claim I belong to the Prince of Peace in the kingdom of God. There is no difference. It's repulsive to them. It doesn't help the cause. But see, if I don't know how to do that, I'm left with the tools I've been given. And those tools aren't necessarily good tools. I have to humble myself and quit fighting so I can learn. Reminds me of, how many saw that Dumb and Dumber? When Jim Carrey feeds that guy the hot chilies. And then he goes to give him mouth to mouth because the guy's choking and dying and stuff. And the guy's fighting like crazy. He goes, it'll go a lot better if you quit fighting. Because that's what we do. We're dying, but we're fighting. And God's trying to give us something better, and we're fighting him on it. Why? Because that's what we do. We war. We war when we don't even have anything to do. I remember, Therese, after I got to the Lord early in my recovery and early walking with Jesus, because I was married 5 years before Therese and I got, well, she got saved before me, and I'm kind of warring with that right now, but no, she got, you know, and I got saved, and now, but I didn't know how to do relationships. I'd be in the car. Service we used to go to at the church that I was raised up in after I got saved, at about 8:45, and I'd be yelling for her to get going. Come on, come on. She's in the house taking care of all three kids, getting them ready, doing all this stuff, getting everything you'd rather, and I'm bummed. I'm at war with her because she's taking so long, hindering my thing. Luckily, the air was on, and I'm yelling at her, and I'm warring with her. You know what would have been so awesome? If I just would have got out and helped. That would have been called peacemaking. Oh! Yeah, we're working in this together. Never crossed my mind. You know, she just needs to get up earlier. I know. I know. Right? Why didn't she get up earlier? I couldn't figure it out. But thank God we have a great marriage today. And this is what we've learned to do. We peacemake. When there's an issue, we resolve it. We don't war. It's not a battle of who wins. It's a battle of what is the problem. Let's fix it so we can walk like this. So we're not walking, poof, 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 poof. You know, emotionally, whatever. Does that make sense? It's not that hard, except in here. Because there's a whole transformation that has to take place. We're used to dividing and segregating over everything. It's crazy. Even in the church. You go on some church websites, all they do is bash another church. It's like, well, aren't we on the same team? I mean, it's like, you know, yes, everyone knows his place is the best church in Orange County. Probably this side of the Mississippi, but I don't want to brag about you guys. He says, listen, in this world you will have trouble. Why does God let us have trouble? So we can learn to be peacemakers. That's a big part of the trouble that comes into our life, teaching us how to be peacemakers. Why? Because if I don't learn that skill, how can I help the world? And how can I train the little ones in my life? Because we pass on, your kids watch you. They gain, bitter childhood right there, but they gain the knowledge of religion. Just kidding, brother. They gain the knowledge of relationships from you. They watch. They learn. They see. And oftentimes we boomerang. How many of us grew up and said, I'll never parent like my parents? So you go to the end. They were super strict. I don't even know where my kids are at. Because I'm that kind of good parent. We usually, you know, and then God, because this is the way we are, we boomerang. If this is the way we were, we go to this side. When Teresa and I got to the Lord, we were doing everything wrong. It's like, tell us what to do, we'll do it right. Just tell me what to do. And then you start reading all this stuff, what to do, and you find out these people don't know either. They're just chugging along. Yeah, I can glean from everybody. Be a student. Listen, people, nobody matures in any area of life without becoming a student of that area. If you're married, become a student of marriage. The problem in that is it takes both people. Be open to learning, because then, like, it's a skill. I can't tell you how that word comes out of my mouth so many times when I'm counseling people. They're talking about this, that, and that, that, that. I say, listen. Relationship stuff is a skill. If you're willing to learn the skills, yeah, you have to deal with stuff of the past. You have to make peace with that. Quit fighting it. Get over trying to have a better past. That's the key to moving forward. You'll never fix your past. And people that don't make peace with their past, war with it. And that's what's stopping me. And that's what's keeping me. And there's this war over here. And if Dad only would have been a better dad, he ain't anymore. He's not there. Mom, if she only would, this, if only that wouldn't happen. You're warring. You can never move forward. Like any war in the world, you can only have a war on so many fronts. What Hitler could have taken over Europe easily, except he went into Africa. And then he went into Russia. And then he tried to take the North, England. And then he fought America. He had too many fronts of war. Some of us have multiple fronts of war going on in our lives. You can't successfully navigate that. And then you want to have a relationship. Single people, I want to have a relationship. That's why many of us have superficial relationships. Our best thing is we're proud isolationist. I've been wounded a lot in war with people, so I don't hang around him. That's why I have 37 cats. Then at some point you go, you know what? I'm going to venture back into a relationship. While I'm fighting these other six fronts, then I'm going to invite this person in to my drama. And then we're going to war with them. We are called to be peacemakers. Oh my gosh, we're way late. I didn't even get to how to be a peacemaker yet. We're just in the introduction. So come next week, bring some friends, and we'll talk about how to be a peacemaker, not a peace faker. And that's the other thing, how to be a peacekeeper. The goal is, and this is the thing, the goal is reconciliation, but it doesn't always happen. God wanted to reconcile the world to himself, and he came as a peacemaker. But people can refuse that. And God says, okay. So there are sometimes in abusive situations, you know, stuff where it's you can forgive. Oh, I just gave you how to be a peacemaker. We'll talk all about that next week. You want to be a peacemaker? You got to learn to forgive. And we'll break that down for you. So how many want to be a peacemaker? How many know, you can keep that hand out. How many know you've been peace fakers? Put up a foot. How many know that I just like to war? Okay, let's do this. Let's peace fake till next Sunday. At least we can peace fake and then learn some skills. Try to, you know, I'll give you information. That don't change you. Application changes you. And then start applying it. And do little peace. I'll give you one more hint till the children are actually walking in here. I won't give you that hint. Start with little things. When that guy cuts you off, the rude clerk in the store, say, I give you peace. I will not war with you today. I extend peace to you. And if they flip you off, I extend peace to you today. You're inviting me to a war. Full up on them this year. Amen? Start with the little one. All right, let's pray. Everybody stand up. Say, God, help me to be a peacemaker, not a peace faker, and not a war monger in my relationships. I don't know how, but I know a couple things. Give me more tools, God. I thank you for that. And all God's kids said? All right, God bless you guys. Have a great day.